I don't know.
That's a long answer, though.
Well, that's all right. That's a kind of a long story, actually. Okay, great. So we're starting a new series. Again, like I mentioned last week, there was a couple of members of our club who asked me to address some of these sort of difficult, hot topic issues. These are ones that probably are not directly addressed in the Bible necessarily. And I would say two-thirds of what we've done with our midweeks in the 3.5 years this club has existed is just doing Bible study, just going to the book of Romans, go to the book of Genesis, whatever. And so in doing those kind of things, these topics don't necessarily even come up. But nevertheless, these are things that are important for us, so we're going to talk about them. All right, here's the list we came up with. I extended the list a little bit based on the input from last week. Today we're going to do a discussion about bioethics. All right, and these are things that are not addressed in the Bible. All right, is it a good idea? Is it not a good idea for us to be doing those things as human beings, first of all, and then as Christians? What's up with that? All right. By the way, this is not the order. These are the topics. I've not figured out the order they're going to be in. We're going to discuss race. And again, race is definitely not addressed in the Bible. In fact, the concept of race literally didn't even exist in the first century. We're going to talk about the relationship between race and Christianity. That's a sensitive subject. And here, a white guy is going to teach this class. So good luck to me, right? All right, we'll talk about Christianity and politics. Oh, my goodness, that's a big thing. Oh, my goodness. Christianity and war. The idea, should Christians be in the military? Should they be in the police? Should we be supporting wars? Is the idea of a just war even a biblical idea? What about the Old Testament? All that kind of stuff. Got it? Then we're going to talk about gender and Christianity, which is a huge topic. Okay? And then other assorted things related to that, such as birth control, abortion, Christianity and culture, things like modesty and music, and what kind of things are not appropriate for Christians to be taking part in. Another gray area, all right, and then et cetera. And by the way, with these things we're going to talk about, number one, generally, these are not dealt with in the Bible, at least not directly. They might be indirectly through principles. And number two, there's going to be some gray areas. Okay? Now, of the things we're going to talk, I would say two-thirds of the things we're going to talk about, we would have a consensus in this room of what the correct view of it would be. I'm guessing, but maybe that many. But then about a third of them, even people in this room, they just wouldn't even agree. And that's got to be okay, because when we're talking about gray areas or areas that the Bible doesn't directly address, humility is required and a certain level of open-mindedness, not to agree with the person we disagree with, but to accept them, right? The Bible talks about accepting one another. And one of the areas of accepting one another is in areas that are important to spirituality, but which the Bible does not give a definite solid answer on. Got it? Okay. So that's my little introduction. So we're going to talk about Christianity and bioethics. And I'm suggesting some of the possible ethical questions, even in the pictures, cloning, the whole idea of brain implants, which is a real thing that's going to be happening, and just using technology to actually affect our thoughts and feelings. And I'm not sure why that one. That was just an interesting thing about a flying fly. But anyway. All right. So we're going to talk about what is bioethics. We're going to define the subject. Next question is, why should we care about these issues? All right. That's why is that important? Number three, what should be the Christian response to some of these issues? Like I said, it may not always be clear cut. And then we're going to do a couple of case studies. These are ethical or moral issues. All right, where are the male embryos? They're in the fridge with the beers. Okay, a little sarcastic comment about perhaps there might be some scientists who don't care about morality or ethics sufficiently. All right, and so should we let them have control over these questions? That's a really good question. Okay. A useful definition, I took this from an author. Bioethics is the process of distinguishing between what we should pursue and what we should not pursue in matters of life and health. Okay? So there's all kinds of ethical questions, but bioethics has to do with medical science has made it possible for us to do this. And the question is, should we pursue this? This is a human question that has nothing to do with Christianity per se, in some cases. In other cases, Christianity is going to have a definite perspective on those things. Okay? All right, now, here's an important distinction which I think most people don't know how to make. That's between morality and ethics. Now, our atheist friends try to confuse these two terms because they don't, technically, morality has no meaning in an atheistic worldview. Morality has to do with right and wrong. So when you say that is wrong to do that. And right and wrong can only come from a moral absolute. Morality has to do with absolutes of right and wrong. And our atheist friends would remind us that there is no absolute right and wrong based on human beings. It's a matter of opinion. Unless, of course, there is a higher authority. In other words, no human being has a right to tell any other human being in principle what's right and wrong. In principle. But if there exists a higher moral authority, then morality is real. Yeah. And we as Christians definitely believe, without ambiguity, we believe there is a higher authority for what's right and wrong. So, for example, if the Bible says it's wrong to get drunk, then people who are not Christians may debate that one. Okay? And there are ethical issues around drinking. And yes, atheists could have some ethical views about drinking, and we can have that discussion. So morality, for us anyway, has to do with those things which the Bible specifically says is a sin to either do or to not do. That would, by definition, be a moral issue. There's some pretty obvious ones we could think of, right? Like, for example, sexual morality. That's even got the term morality in it. Okay? So these are, so if bioethics raises moral issues, Christians will have a particular kind of perspective on that. The next thing is ethics. Ethics is outside the realm of right and wrong. Ethics has to do with better or worse. In other words, things that human beings can do, there's pros and cons. And ethics has to do with maximizing the positive benefit for human beings of anything we might be able to do. It's not as simple as that. I would say maximizing the pro and con issues related to human beings, but also animals and the world. Okay, got it? So ethics has to do with cost-benefit analysis. Something is unethical if it produces more harm to human beings, or perhaps to human beings and animals more broadly, or perhaps to human beings and animals and even to the planet, something like that. And so discussions of ethics were on equal ground. Christians, non-Christians, Muslims, Hindus. So whatever your worldview is, the ethics is going to be very similar across humanity. Got that? And a good question to always ask is this a moral issue or an ethical issue? I'll throw out cloning. It's my opinion. It's my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. Cloning does not raise any moral issues. That's my opinion. Okay? I'll explain why later on in this talk. Okay? But it certainly raises ethical issues. So that discussion can be had. Being a Christian doesn't really change. But it's still bioethics, and Christians care about ethics, right?
Yeah.
I would say probably we would put a moral question above an ethical question.
Yes.
Probably. Most of the time, maybe even all the time, I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about it. Okay, got the distinction between ethics and morality. Ethics has to do with cost-benefit analysis. Something would be unethical if we can logically conclude there's more harm than good from that activity. Got it? Christians may have a fair amount in common with the wider world on ethical questions, but on moral questions, maybe not. In fact, in some cases, probably not. Okay, got it? Biotechnology. That's a huge thing, right? By the way, not all ethical issues related to science are from biotechnology, but actually most of them are, okay? Not all of them, okay? So scientific methodology specifically directed towards manipulating living things. So, for example, let me go back a few slides. This issue here is not a biotechnology issue. That one is not. That one is. That one is not. But a majority of the issues that relate to ethics and science, not just bioethics, just science and ethics, if you will, do relate to biotechnology, okay? Examples of biotechnologies would be the use of antibiotics, psychopharmaceuticals, genetically modified crops, recombinant DNA, all right, chemically engineered drugs, organ transplants, pacemakers, computer-aided prosthesis, gene therapy, stem cell, fetal tissue therapies, human and therapeutic cloning, neural implants, and many, many more. I'm guessing everybody in this room knows what at least two-thirds of those are, and maybe even more. You may not know what all of them are. We can talk about specifics. We're getting there, okay? I'm just establishing definitions. All right, just to get you thinking. So this is something I cover. I taught this course, Science 110, probably 40 times, maybe more, at Grossmont College. I was the one who kind of created the course. Anyway, whatever. So I tell them this, and this is just to get them thinking. You think a new technology is ethically bad, but 30 years from now, you're going to say it was a great idea. So this is to have us hopefully have humility in talking about ethical issues. One example would be in vitro fertilization. When in vitro fertilization was first developed in the 1960s, almost all Christian groups were adamantly and vehemently opposed to it as a terrible thing and wanted to make it illegal in every state. You didn't know that. Us old people, we remember that. Okay, today, if you want to get in vitro fertilization, it's dang expensive and the government doesn't pay for it, so you know where you're probably going to go? To your church, and they might come up with money for it. So what happened? What happened? Because I believe Christians tend to have, forgive me for saying this, Christians tend to have knee-jerk reactions to certain issues. And that's not just true of Christians, that's true of people in general. So I'm telling you that the vast majority of people in America were convinced that IVF was bad, even non-Christians, some of them. And yet now, you know, I believe IVF does raise moral questions, actually. Okay? Whether it raises ethical questions, I'm not so sure. But I believe it does raise moral questions, and we can talk about that. Then next, I said to this class many, many times, I said, you think something is a great idea today? Yes! Go for it! Develop that technology and start using it. But 30 years from now, you can say, that was a terrible idea, horrible decision. Examples of that are easier to give, because we've already been through both versions of that. For example, this is not a hot issue. These are not hot issues, all right? DDT. Do you even know what DDT is?
No.
All right. Diethyl, dichloral, whatever it is. This was a pesticide that was that, basically malaria was killing tens of millions of people a year. Malaria was even a problem in America back then. You didn't know that. But when I was young, there was not much left. Because this was developed in the 40s. Wow. And DDT has this wonderful property of being very, very deadly to mosquitoes and not deadly to human beings.
Yeah.
All right? And it was sprayed. They had planes just mass sprayings. And millions and millions of lives were saved. by the mass aerial spraying of DDT. And then they started to notice, like, peregrine falcons went extinct. And DDT is one of these persistent chemicals that lasts for hundreds of years. And they were having penguins who were thousands of miles from the nearest place that DDT was sprayed, not being able to produce offspring because they're... In fact, DDT was kind of what started the environmental movement, Silent Spring. You all don't know that book, but Rachel Carson in the 1960s wrote this now very, very famous book, Silent Spring, which she was living in the Central Valley of California. She realized she didn't hear birds anymore. That's what it was about. And so anyway, DDT was completely banned, I believe, everywhere in the world. You know what's really weird? In the last 20 years, DDT has made a comeback. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's used mostly in Africa. What they'll do is they'll put, mosquito nets, and they'll put a low amount of DDT on the mosquito nets, which doesn't kill any birds or anything. And again, it's saving millions of lives. So now, wait a minute. I am so confused. Is the use of DDT ethical or unethical? Well, see what I'm saying? So again, I'm trying to encourage us to have humility in talking about ethical issues. When it comes to moral issues, deep conviction, don't hold back. Well, have some humility, because other people may not ascribe to Christian morality. And we live in a country that does not officially adopt Christian morality, so that's complicated too. Point number three I always made to the students, the pace of scientific discovery in producing new technologies outpaced humans' ability to grasp the ethical implications. So we are going to make mistakes as human beings and as Christians in regards to ethical questions, just so you know. And point number four, don't trust the scientists on this, okay? The reason is scientists have this attitude. Yes, and by the way, scientists generally are highly sensitive to ethical questions. That's not the problem. But the scientists say, let's develop the technology, and then if ethical questions come up later, we'll deal with that. But then who owns the technologies? Not the scientists, no. Corporations. And once a corporation figures out they can make money from this technology, the ethical question suddenly, ooh. Okay? Good. Now, most of these issues are not specifically Christian issues, but I believe we should care about these things. Okay, got it? All right. For example, human enhancement. And these kinds of technologies are just beginning to happen, and this is going to become a huge thing. My personal opinion is Jesus is going to come back, both because of AI and because of the possibility of human enhancement. All right? Because here's the deal. Once a technology is developed, people are going to use it. All right? And there's going to be a pressure on people who don't want to use it to use it, even if it's unethical. All right? Think about steroids for athletes. The vast majority of athletes would never, ever want to use steroids. But why did they do it anyway? Because other people were doing that. Okay? Therefore, these questions are significant. Human nature, this is a quote from this guy, human nature itself lies on the operating table, ready for alteration, eugenic and neuropsychic enhancement for wholesale redesign. Maybe a bit of hyperbole, but really true. Okay? Transhumans view human nature as a work in progress. So there's sort of determinist atheists out there that propose just using technology to completely transform human activity. They view human nature as a work in progress, a half-baked beginning that we can learn to remold in desirable ways. This would involve extending human lifespan. Is that a good thing or is that not a good thing? What about For example, you could imagine using technology, you put this little thing and you hit a button and you suddenly have a joyous feeling. That's not science fiction. All right? And, or you could push a button and have a sexual experience. Yeah. Or a religious experience.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, these are a few examples of human enhancements, which are not all bad. By the way, not all human enhancements are bad. Here's my job tonight is to give you a set of principles you can use to apply to all these things. We're going there. We're going to be there. 10 minutes from now, we're going to be there. So don't worry. Right now, we're just talking, getting you thinking. Breast implants, antibiotics, steroids, therapeutic drugs used for enhancements, Ritalin, SSRIs, antidepressants, Alzheimer's drugs to improve natural memory. All right, they're developed for Alzheimer's patients, but then, you know, you could start taking drugs to remember stuff better. Well, at some point, got it? Genetic diseases, eliminating deafness, that's already been done, improving athletic abilities, all kinds of stuff. All right, will gamers be able to resist brain implants? The answer is definitely not. Okay? Yeah, because you could imagine physically implanting something in a human brain that relates to gaming. Yeah, you're shaking your head. Will that be possible eventually? Again, hopefully Jesus will come back and it won't, but it will, and young people are going to be very, very tempted. I'm telling you that. And then the people won't do it. They're never going to win any games ever again. All right? Am I creating a nightmare scenario? Yeah, but it's an actual scenario. Is AI a nightmare scenario? Yes. All right. The very identity of human person and the very substance of reality are presumably called into question by developments in artificial intelligence, in genetics, in virtual reality, said this philosopher Alec Borgman. The artificial improvement of human beings will come one way or another. Pay attention. Whether we like it or not, as soon as the progress of biological understanding makes it possible, when people are offered technological means to improve themselves and their children, no matter what they conceive the conceived improvements to mean, the offer will be accepted. Is that good or bad? Okay. Improvement may mean better health, longer life, more cheerful disposition, stronger heart, smarter brain, ability to earn more money, athletic prowess. The technology of improvement may be hindered or delayed by regulation, but it cannot be permanently denied. That's one person's opinion. I think it's probably largely true. Although, you know, what's happened with anabolic steroids is an example how pushback from Christians and non-Christians can be effective. Okay, this is not all negative. All right, so a simple answer. That's the problem with simple answers. They're never good enough. All right, some people would say, well, it's a matter of choice. So nobody's going to force you to do that. So therefore, it's not a problem because you don't have to do it. But the reality is, no, that is not true. If there would be, for example, intellectual enhancement tools, then you wouldn't be able to get into your university if you don't use it. Do you think there's going to be pressure on you to use it? Yes. Another thing is, let's even say ethically it's not even bad. You can't even think of anything that's ethically bad about it. What if only rich people have access? Right? What if only rich people have access to technologies that can extend human lifespan? That raises big ethical issues, especially, I would say, for Christians. All right? All right, these issues cry out for a Christian response, even though some of these things are not specifically Christian. Okay, so questions to think about. I'm headed towards advice on how to think about these things. Just, all right, good. What is the purpose of human existence? All right, I think Christians have a pretty strong feeling about that. And the question is, does this technology enhance our ability to do that thing, which is the purpose of human existence? Some of them do. Right? Antibiotics. That's a technology that we don't think about. But, you know, some of us wouldn't even be alive right now. Or we would have never been born because our parents would have died. But then again, that's why the earth has 8 billion people, which is too many people, so everything's complicated sometimes. But this is a question in these ethical and moral things, all right? What is the purpose of human existence, and does this technology enhance that or not? Okay? So something that's going to make you a great gamer clearly is not in that range, okay? What is the meaning of human dignity? Is human dignity brought into question by this technology? What is the meaning of free will? I mean, some people would argue that's a meaningless concept. Even some Christians with Calvin, never mind, I won't go there. never mind. But certainly atheists have problems with that. And what is the relationship between free will and technology? Does this technology, in principle, impede human free will? Okay? What is a soul? And what are the implications of the mind, body, soul relationship? In other words, if you change the body, are there possible implications about that mind, body, soul connection? I think in some cases there are. It's a harder question, but what is the meaning of autonomy? And is human autonomy a Christian value? So should choice, the fact that it's a choice, be a factor in whether it's ethical or not? Or should Christians be imposing our ethical thoughts on people that aren't? All right? Good. Are we prepared to let market forces determine the direction of biotechnological advances? The answer is no. A solid no. Should we leave control for the direction of biotechnological moves in the hands of avowed naturalists and scientific materialists? No. Are we going to simply take it? Well, it's in God's hands. I mean, if God allowed the technology to be developed, you know, God's in control anyway. Well, no. I mean, it is true that God's in control, but he gave us, you know, we're supposed to, anyway. The naturalist view is this. We are the purposeless result of blind natural forces. We are temporal. We're not spiritual. In this worldview, biotechnological choices come down to cost-benefit analysis, plain and simple. Moral questions are out of the... But nevertheless, like I said, some of these discussions, atheists and whatever we can have, and they're useful discussions. Others, maybe not. The Christian worldview, the individual has a dignity because we are made in the image of God, which should be respected. This limits the viability of cost-benefit analysis. Okay. Human dignity is in the biblical perspective, does not depend solely on who we are, but more importantly on who God is, as well as on what God has done, is now doing, and will do in the future. Are we guests, invaders, or caretakers? Which is the answer? Biblically? Caretakers. So that has ethical and moral implications. All right, and there's some scriptures on that, which I think we won't go over. Okay, good. Another thing is Genesis 2:15, which basically God said, you're in charge of this planet. All right, now some tree huggers would totally not agree with that, you know what I'm saying? In fact, they would say giving Christians or giving people, you know, control, that's a really bad idea. You know what I'm saying? But if we go to 1 Corinthians 4:2, where it says, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So this means if God has entrusted the earth to us, then it is required that we as Christians take care of it. So that means, for example, environmentalism is a Christian issue. Christians, generically, are going to be defending the environment. I've known Christians who don't have that view at all. They say, well, Jesus is going to come back, so why does it matter? Well, those people are wrong. I don't care what they say. They're wrong. Environmentalism may not be the top Christian issue. It may not be the second or third. But environmentalism is an ethical question, and Christians are required to remember that. We are not to worship nature, which some people kind of do, but we are over it and are therefore responsible for it as stewards. All right, Genesis 11. We did a thing on this recently. Let's make a name for ourselves. C.S. Lewis, in his awesome book, The Abolition of Man, which is a great book, what we call man's power over nature turns out to be a power exercised by some men over other men with nature as its instrument. All right? C.S. Lewis is a master of very thought-provoking statements. What we call man's power over nature, which arguably the Bible has given us some authority there, turns out to be a power exercised by some men over other men, by that he means humans, with nature as its instrument. And we as Christians need to step in at that point. Applied to biotech, should we have as a goal to remake, redesign, and prefabricate ourselves? The answer is going to be there's going to be a presupposition against these things in Christianity. All right? Did Jesus enhance, re-engineer himself or other people? So one of the things we can do in asking ethical questions, because Jesus had the ability to do miracles. And in his miracles, if this is something we can do through biotechnology that Jesus did through a miracle, then it's probably okay. Let me say that again. If we can do through science what Jesus did in his ministry through one of his miracles, then probably we got the go-ahead. So therefore, I would say, antibiotics, good. DDT, well, okay.
Don't dump it into that. Right.
Morally and ethically responsible stewardship. That would be the Christian perspective on these things. Understanding the relationship between the created and the creator. The ultimate goal of Christian medicine is not immortality. Our goal is not to avoid death, but to create as fulfilled a life on earth as we can. Because God wants us to have that. So medical technologies that allow us to have a more fulfilled life, good. All right? Some people are against all doctors, right? There's Christian Science movement, and there's certain other Christian groups that are just doctors. You've got to have faith. All right? So statement for thought. The ultimate goal of Christian medicine is not immortality, not even necessarily to extend the natural human lifespan, but it is to create a more fulfilled life on earth as we can. So that might speak to psychotropic drugs, for example. We should use biotechnologies to relieve suffering in a way which protects human dignity without making humans less human. That's a great summary for bioethics. We should use biotechnologies to relieve suffering, right? In a way which protects human dignity without making humans less human. We should do through a technology what Jesus did in his ministry, relieving suffering, creating a greater quality of life, avoiding unnecessary, untimely death. Okay? Another way to put it, the natural Christian attitude seems to be liberal when it comes to technology to reduce suffering and to improve the quality of life, but to be conservative in unnaturally altering life for personal or monetary benefit. All right, trying to enhance human capabilities in ways that do not reduce suffering or improve the quality of natural life. Generally, we're going to oppose. But ones which do improve the quality of natural life and reduce suffering, we will generally support. It's not as clear-cut as that, but that's a pretty good summary. Got it? I'm going to post this at our website, the club website, and at my website. Nice. So questions to ask. And then we're going to do case studies. We're almost there. How am I doing? Yeah, we're perfect timing. We're going to do 3 case studies. Questions to ask. Does the technology assist in fulfilling our stewardship responsibilities? Okay. For example, genetically modified crops. If those allow us to produce more crops on less land, and there's no obvious harm caused, well, the answer would be yes. Because if we can use less land, that means we're harming the environment less. But on the other hand, perhaps those genetically modified things can end up in the environment and cause massive harm. By the way, genetically modified crops there's no clear answer on that one, just so you know. But here's the question. Does it assist us in fulfilling our stewardship? Some of them do. Some biotechnologies help us to be better stewards of the planet. Okay? Does the technology require or promote the co-modification or destruction of human life? Does the technology demean, debase, or degrade individuals? Some of them do. Does the technology primarily appeal to our baser inclinations? Like the ability to cause an emotion by, you know, many of these brain-altering things are definitely in that camp. The ability for parents to do genetic, you know, to do eugenics, to have children that are whatever. Is the technology a vehicle to promote our own narcissistic self-absorption? So these are the positive questions. Oops. All right, these are the kind of the negative questions. Okay, good. Does the pursuit or use of the technology make just use of resources? For example, if it's very, very expensive, all right, but then maybe later on it won't be, so that's not a clear-cut thing. Or does it use gross amounts of natural resources for a limited positive result? Excellent question. Does the technology promote genuine human flourishing, or does it more likely promote technological and economic imperatives? Is this mostly about money? Must we adapt to the technology, or does the technology designed to adapt to human needs? How much additional technology is necessary to produce, maintain, or safely constrain the technology? All right, so let's talk about stem cell research. Do you know what stem cells are? There's these pluripotent, totipotent cells. And you can create stem cells and inject them in people and, you know, bone marrow transplant is essentially a stem cell thing. All right. But there's all kinds of technologies that have been proposed to be done with stem cells. And one moral issue surrounding stem cells is most of the stem cells that are used have been taken from, In fact, I think it was Reagan who said there's a certain number of stem cell lines you can use, the rest you can't. This is before some of you were born. But stem cell research, does it raise any moral implications? With all of these case studies, we should always start with the moral. Is there a moral aspect? As Christians, that's where we go first. Got it? Are there ethical issues? My answer to are there moral implications of stem cell research is maybe, but almost certainly those moral implications can be worked around. Okay? Probably they can be worked around. Okay, good. Are there ethical issues? The answer is definitely yes. For example, these stem cell treatments are always very, very expensive. And they cost a lot. And the question is, should we be spending $100,000 for a stem cell treatment for one person when that same $100,000 could save 1,000 lives in Africa. All right? America, we assume, yes, we should. Okay. Is this done to enhance human capability, or is it to give health and alleviate suffering? I would say stem cell treatments are all of the good variety on this question. Okay, no, it's not human enhancement. It's just helping people have less suffering and to not die. So on that grounds, stem cell research gets a total thumbs up. On the first one, I think it probably gets a thumbs up. On the second one, there are ethical implications. That means this issue is not a Christian issue. My opinion, stem cells are not a Christian issue. They're an ethical issue. Okay? By the way, we're not going to agree on stem cells. I'm going to go on to my next case study. All right? Human cloning. I'm going to get maybe a little bit controversial on you here. First of all, there's two kinds of cloning, and these are very, very different, both ethically and morally. Okay, almost all proposed uses of human cloning is for therapeutic cloning, not to make a person. This whole, you know, Star Wars cloned whatever, the clone, whatever. That's just a bunch of stuff people throw up to put dust in the air and to get you confused, all right? So cloning has been proposed for very similar things to stem cells, all right? The kinds of things that can be done through stem cells probably can also be done through cloning. Okay, got it? So most of the people who throw up ethical issues about cloning, it's really about human cloning, and that's a red herring. Okay, are there moral implications? We should always start there. Let me tell you this. There are millions and millions of human clones. Millions of them. Already. It's called identical twins. So, I say, cloning is not a moral issue. That's just my opinion. Think about it. Go home and think about it. Just because I said it doesn't, all right? But, okay. I say cloning is not a moral issue. Given that God gives it his thumb up all the time. In other words, having two identically genetic persons raises no moral issues. However, human cloning, not therapeutic cloning, human cloning raises massive ethical issues. All right? Because these cloned human beings, how old, what is their genetic age? Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, Dolly, you know about Dolly, the first, that cloned pig. Dolly only lived a little, Dolly had all kinds of, how about cloning your dog? Oh, you know, cloning your dog raises so many ethical issues. You're spending $30,000 to clone your dog. Please give the $30,000 to feed the poor and get another dog. So there are a lot of ethical issues around cloning, not around therapeutic cloning. Please, let the scientists mostly deal with this stuff. Yes?
What are some uses of therapeutic cloning?
So many things. For example, if you can clone cells, then you can do all kinds of research. And for example, the cloning of rats and mice happens all the time because you can make a bunch of identical rats. Now, we don't want to make a bunch of identical humans, but you want to have cells that are identical. And then you can put them in half. And there are a number of possible uses of therapeutic cloning. All right. And for example, you could perhaps clone cells that have a positive benefit and possibly even, for example, you could create prosthetic limbs that are actually, you know, et cetera. All right. You can also clone beef and make artificial beef. Well, all right. Is that all right? Okay. So the question is, are there moral implications in human cloning I don't think there actually are, but please feel free to not agree with me. Are there ethical issues? Therapy cloning, maybe. Human cloning, yeah. Even cloning of animals raises all kinds of ethical questions. Yeah.
So would, people are trying to bring back, extinct species, that...
Right. That would involve a cloning situation. Yes, it would. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm purposely not going to answer that question. We can talk about it later. Okay, I'm probably having too much power here already, being in front of this group talking about these things. I'm making some statements that maybe you should even question. You know what I'm saying? I hope I'm being humble. I think maybe I'm not in some way. So, please. All right, is this human cloning to enhance human capability, or is it to give health and to alleviate suffering? Alright, the human cloning, that's what it's about, so no! But therapeutic cloning is the only purpose I even know for therapeutic cloning, is to give health and to alleviate suffering. That doesn't mean it's without ethical issues, because the cost of these treatments would be astronomical. And so the question is, why would we be spending all this time and money so, it's complicated. Is there sufficient negative harm to others which more than offsets Bible's good? You decide. That would include even bringing back mastodons or whatever. Okay? All right. Third. So I'm just doing three case studies. Okay? All right. Psychoactive drugs or the use of drugs to deal with mental health issues. Okay? Yeah. And my first comment is, this is a very fraught issue. Very fraught. There are some Christians who say it's all bad, all wrong. No Christian would ever take a psychoactive drug for any reason. Okay. If that's your perspective, okay. Is there a moral issue? Is it a sin to use drugs to alter our state of mind? I think mostly we would say, yes, in most cases, right? In most cases, to purposely alter human thinking through injecting a drug, we're not taking LSD. No, we're not going to smoke marijuana. We don't do that kind of stuff. So our presupposition would be against these things most of the time. The question is, all the time? Let's talk about it. Is there a moral issue? The answer is yes, there is. But sometimes even moral issues are not, the lesser of two evil kind of things. The lesser of two evils does exist, even in Christianity. So the guy comes into the house, he's pointing the gun at you. Is your wife here? And you lie. You know? Okay. Some people would say that you're going to go to hell for that. Other people say, thank you. the lesser of two evils is that's a real thing even in Christianity. Is the Christian view that our first automatic response ought to be to avoid the use of mind-altering drugs, if at all possible? I believe it is, or ought to be at least let the or in questions of mental health, should we let the professionals tell us what is best? For example, if somebody has schizophrenia, and that is a diagnosable condition that almost certainly is at least partially caused by genetic causes. So should we as Christians say, take that mind-altering drug, please? Okay. What about, depression is one thing, and then there's manic depression, and then there's OCD. What about OCD? Okay. All right. So, I believe that probably it is true that Christians would have moral reasons to push back against the taking of mind-altering drugs. And yet, there are people who better take their drugs. Alright? And so where is the proper Christian position on these things? That's a really good... Right, for recreation, we would say no. Okay? I still say it's complicated. Because microdosing of mind-altering psychoactives... anyway. So, let's do our... Oh, suggestions. Be careful about presupposing the proper Christian view on any particular topic. Got it? These are just my final comments. Be prepared to do some research to find out what's really going on. Learn to ask the right questions. I suggested some of those. And be really carefully when you do your research. Because so much, you know, people say, I did my research on that, and they read a bunch of misinformation. And so be willing to do some research, be willing to do some work. But you, folks, we need to learn how to do research. That's a whole other topic. Be willing to have deep convictions, but also show grace towards those who don't have the same conviction. Even within Christianity, but also with those from outside of Christianity. It's not our job to tell non-Christians what to do in some cases. Okay? So, here's our discussion questions, just for fun. Groups of three or four. Which issue that we raised tonight do you find most interesting or of most concern? And have you formed any thoughts on this based on the questions that we raised? Okay? Which issue did you find most interesting or compelling to think about? All right. And then number two, have you formed any thoughts? Is this a moral issue or is this primarily an ethical issue? Okay, we can break.
Ready, break.
All right. I ended almost on time.